So Daron actually had to cancel his trip on a very short notice, and so I'm going to present on his behalf. And we looked a little bit into relationships between soil-specific surface area, water film thickness, and water vapor absorption. And as many of you, all of you know that the soil-specific surface area is really one of the most important soil properties, in my opinion, because it really governs many physical or physicochemical processes in soils. Only when we look at all the electrochemical reactions on soil surfaces, we basically know that the surface charge usually increases with increasing surface area. And also the intermolecular forces between solid particles and water molecules, actually, they highly depend on the soil-specific surface area. And basically water vapor absorption and also film flow phenomena at very low matrix potentials, they are intimately related to the specific surface area. And this fact we also can capitalize on and actually use absorption or water vapor absorption isotherms to basically determine soil-specific surface area. And of course, there are many other kind of phenomena that are quite important when you look at ion exchange, adsorption, desorption of plant nutrients and contaminants, mobility and coagulation and dispersion of soil colloids. In the presence of salt is, of course, also very much dependent on the surface area. So it's really a very, very important soil property that governs many processes. Many of you maybe know all those measurement methods. And of course, depending on the probing molecule, we get kind of different values. So when we have polar liquids like water, EGME, we usually can penetrate the interlayer spacings of clay minerals and basically get the total surface area. When we look at nitrogen adsorption, for example, the nitrogen molecules are too big to actually get into those inter kind of platelet spaces, and we only get external surfaces. So whenever we talk about surface area, we always need to kind of make an interpretation that is related to the specific measurement method. And one thing that is also, I think, quite important to mention is that water should be actually the preferred probing molecule because it more realistically represents conditions that you actually would experience under field conditions. And again, I mean, all those measurement methods, whoever kind of dealt with EGME adsorption knows that this is not really a very kind of solid method, even if you follow this very, very strict measurement protocol. You get the repeatability of measurements is actually not very good, so you get maybe a relative or kind of deviations of 10, 15, 20% between subsamples. And only if you kind of, for example, change the history of how you apply the vacuum to strip the excess EGME layers, you get almost all the time different results. So it's not really a very solid method, but it's one of the standard methods to actually determine the total soil-specific surface area. Then it's already mentioned gas adsorption, so you basically measure the amount or the volume of adsorbed gas as a function of the relative gas pressure. And then you use this Brunner, Emmett, Teller kind of method to basically look at the linear part of this curve and determine the external surface area. But really lately, and we heard about this many times already, there were really nice fully automated instruments that actually allow us to very precisely and with a high resolution actually to measure the triad of the water retention curve or water vapor absorption isotherms. And we can actually use this information in combination with different methods to actually kind of estimate the soil-specific surface area from vapor absorption. And this brings me to the objectives of this study. So what we wanted to look into is basically how we actually can use this information that we have from these sorption isotherms and apply, for example, a thin film water vapor adsorption method that I kind of proposed a few years ago together with Danny. How this actually compares to this linear T-curve theory that was initially developed for nitrogen adsorption by De Boer and his colleagues in 1966. And then we also wanted to see if this can be actually applied to water vapor adsorption. And then we also tested a method that was proposed by Harkins and Ure in 1944. And only a little bit about the theory. So what we did back then, we basically... Okay. We basically related the soil-specific surface area to the gravimetric water content via the thickness of an adsorbed liquid film. So this expression was initially developed by Iwamatsu and Hori in 1996. Where you basically kind of account for the interactions between the solid surfaces and the water molecules via this so-called Hamaker constant, and you include the molar volume of water and basically convert basically water potential the relative humidity or water activity via the Kelvin equation to water potential. And then we basically plot these adsorption isotherms in terms of matrix potential versus gravimetric water content and fit this expression using the soil-specific surface area as a fitting parameter, and you basically get some estimates for soil-specific surface area out of this. So now if we move on and basically assume that the film thickness term is like a function that is only dependent on vapor pressure, we call this Lifshitz thickness, and basically can kind of linearize this equation and kind of calculate kind of gravimetric water content as a function of gamma, which is the mass of water per unit surface area, times the soil-specific surface area. So we basically linearize this previous approach. And this is actually exactly mathematically designed like this T-curve theory from De Boer. So we looked at this, and then we also tested a kind of equation that was proposed by Harkins and Jura. And they basically introduced the isothermal equation of state for a constant for a condensed film. That basically states that the log of the relative vapor pressure is approximately the same as C minus B. Those are two unknown functions that are dependent on temperature, and they are basically different for each condensate divided by the molecular volume of water squared. And basically, if we look at the linear part of this function, we can come up with a very simple kind of expression for soil-specific surface area that is simply constant times the square root of this B parameter. And since we basically know the volume of adsorbed water and we know the as a function of the vapor pressure, so from the adsorption isotherm, we basically can determine this B value and then we can predict surface area. And this p-value actually should be a unique soil-specific parameter. So for each different soil texture, for each different soil sample, we should get a kind of a unique p-value. So we tested this. We actually, I mean, also together with Emmanuel, we actually applied this vapor sorption analyzer. Maybe now we have about 200 or 250 soil samples measured. But for this specific study, we basically used those 21 source soils from the University of Arizona source soil repository. We measured the texture with pipette methods and then kind of independently measured the soil-specific surface area, again with EGME and with nitrogen adsorption. And then, of course, we also applied this vapor sorption analyzer to measure those adsorption and desorption loops. For the analysis, we only actually use the adsorption branch. And this is really a very, very nice instrument. And the amazing thing is the high repeatability between measurements, and you really get kind of values within a very short period of time, and there is not a lot of preparation actually required. You prepare your sample, then the instrument does the measurement for you. And I only show quickly two examples. So one is for the soil with the highest clay content. So basically, when we apply this kind of thin film model, we basically fit our measured values with this kind of function I showed previously. And for high clay content, you usually see a little bit of deviation, especially at the drier end. But still, you get relatively solid kind of estimates of surface area. So, and of course, since this is only a linearized form of this initial model, so this linear T method, basically where you plot your gamma against gravimetric water content, and then fit the linear equation to this, you of course get identical results because it's mathematically analogous. But when you compare those measurements actually with EGNI measured surface area, and when you consider the uncertainty in those EGNI measurements, you actually see that this works quite well. And the same is for like the soil with the lowest clay content. So this soil at only 0.6% clay content. And again, of course, when you have less clay, usually your fits get a little bit better. And also, there is not too much deviation of the estimates that are based on this kind of tool and or method, this linear T method, and the EGMI measured surface area. Then we also looked at this Harkins and Ure approach, and we basically kind of looked at all those 21 soils. So first we kind of calculated the p-value for all those 21 soils, and then plotted the square root of p against the measured values, one time p, nitrogen PET, and second time EGMI. And you basically see that, and then we basically fit the linear regression and determine this constant. And then when we plugged back into the equation, we basically also received relatively nice estimates for soil-specific surface area. So those are the data for those 21 soils. So this is the EGMI measurement. This is the this thin film equation. This one is the linearized film thin equation. And this, I think, is the column that actually shows the results for this last method. So basically, when you consider the uncertainty of like EGMI measurements, this is, I think, a very robust method actually to very rapidly estimate a soil-specific surface area from vapor sorption isotherms at relatively good accuracy. And of course, when we looked at this, I mean, it turned out, I mean, the theory behind it is a little bit more complex, so I didn't really present everything, but it turned out that this T-curve method is actually mathematically exactly the same like this thin film approach. And also this Harkins and Ure method actually provides quite good estimates. Only in most cases it slightly overestimates the surface area that we measured with EGMI adsorption. And if you're really interested, we have actually a recently paper published in Water Resources Research. I think you can look at it online already. And this basically kind of gives a little bit more detail about this specific study.
Thank you. So we're almost there. Any questions? Before we all yes.
Marcus, what's the time frame for applying this method in terms of
taking measurements? I mean, for sand, we have basically measurements within one day for clay soils, but this is for two loops, so basically adsorption, desorption, adsorption, desorption, and for clay soils up to 3 days. But you don't really need to do anything. So basically you prepare the sample. You usually use air dry sample because we realized when we use oven dry samples you have a little bit of issues with hydrophobicity in the beginning. But when you prepare the sample, you let the instrument run and latest after 3 days when you really have high clay content soils, you get the really very detailed adsorption, desorption isotherm. And we actually played with all kind of other things. So right now we're working on physically based approaches actually to use vapor adsorption to basically predict hydrophobicity, contact angle. This seems to work quite well. We were actually looking into predicting of cation exchange capacity, clay mineralogy, so 1-to-1, 2-to-1 layer minerals. So this adsorption isotherm actually has a lot of information about other soil properties. And with one measurement, we hope to kind of develop some sort of framework to get like a whole suite of different soil properties.
Mm-hmm. Must be equilibration time for gas space and water in the soil, and also we have some contributions always the problem.
We actually, when we applied the WP4, so this was actually done with this full automated instrument.
Yeah.
That is not, I think it's more like a dynamic measurement, maybe Gale and Camber.
My question is more or less, have you ever tested desorption and adsorption isotherm, considerable different speed for the equilibration of the different soil?
We tested all this actually. We published a paper on this Soil Science Society of America journal, where we actually looked at all these kind of effects. But in terms of the VP4, we equilibrated the samples in the refrigerator at 4 degrees Celsius for at least 2.5-3 weeks. So this was not like mixed. This was also, I was a little bit surprised that you actually can get significant or can get realistic values when you only let the sample equilibrate for 1 day, especially when you are moisture content is really low, so it actually takes quite some time.
Okay. One last one, and then we can get ready to do
it. I consider, from my intuition, one of the most important properties that as a pattern in soil physics,
mm-hmm.
Hydraulics in soil physics, whatever. Why we don't have this value very frequently? Or
why
are we using it in order for us to use it?
This is
either. So
I mean, people don't.
That, something strange is happening because.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe one of the reasons is. Maybe one of the reasons is that the measurement previously was not that easy. So now, with all those fully automated capabilities, the measurements actually quite easy and quite accurate and quite repeatable. So this, I can imagine, was one of the reasons. And in previous days, I was actually working a lot on like film flow or the water retention curve at the dry end. Nobody really kind of acknowledged the importance of this. I mean, this was like 10, 15 years ago, but now actually a lot of people start working on this, and they acknowledge that it's actually really important. And of course, all those properties at the dry end, they are closely related to the soil-specific surface area.